This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Remember Stormy Daniels, the adult film star former President Trump allegedly had an affair with nearly 2 decades ago and then allegedly paid six figures to silence right before the 2016 election? That made a cable news fixture and convicted felon out of his former personal attorney, Michael Cohen. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg is now looking into whether Trump actually paid Stormy Daniels through Cohen and thereby broke campaign finance laws and falsified business records. Cohen appears before a grand jury today, and the DA also invited Trump to testify later this week. Spoiler alert, that is unlikely. It's Monday, so Press Play's Legal Eagle is here, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Hello.
Hello.
Well, I had forgotten all about Stormy Daniels, and I bet most people had, but didn't federal prosecutors look into this and decline not to prosecute or charge Trump?
They absolutely did. And it was actually looked like it was a strong campaign finance case against the former president at the time. The problem was he wasn't the former president. He was the current president. So as you just said, Michael Cohen, he's a convicted felon for campaign finance violations because he said, yes, I paid these sums. I paid Stormy Daniels at the direction of individual number one. And he paid so much money that it was viewed as a campaign contribution and over the limit. The problem was that it was made for the purpose of influencing the election. So it was seen as a contribution, but it was way over the contribution limits. Now, normally, although of course there's no normally here, but normally if somebody tells you, okay, make these payments to influence the election and do it at my direction, then that person, that individual number one, is going to face federal charges. But again, I think the former president didn't because at the time he was a sitting president. And as we all know, there's that Department of Justice memoranda that says we don't indict sitting presidents. And that's why we're having this conversation now about potential state charges.
I see. But was there a smoking gun? Was there the email or the phone call recorded that purports to show that Trump directed Cohen to pay her?
So yes and no. We all know that the former president doesn't really email, that he speaks in code. And that's why sometimes it's very difficult when we talk about these cases to say, oh, absolutely, he knew what he was doing. And I think that's part of the problem here. The smoking gun was Michael Cohen pleading guilty under oath in open federal court and saying individual number one told me to do that. And with the understanding and reporting, and I think Michael Cohen explicitly saying, individual number one, that's Donald Trump. The problem, of course, with that smoking gun is it depends on Michael Cohen, who is a convicted felon and has admitted to lying in the past.
Right. And so could be torn apart by Trump's lawyers should it go that far that he's indicted.
I think that's right. I mean, Michael Cohen has certainly had a kind of rehabilitation campaign. And I think at this point, a lot of people feel, well, what would be the reason for lying in a way where he ended up in jail or in prison for, I think, almost a year? But certainly Trump's lawyers will question his credibility if it ever gets that far, as he said.
Why is Alvin Bragg bringing this now? His predecessor, Cyrus Vance, said that this was a zombie case, basically, and again, did not bring charges. Why is Alvin Bragg doing this now?
I know that is the question. And at this point, I haven't seen an answer other than that Cyrus Vance thought, let's pursue other issues. So we all know we've been talking about for, I think, years now, other issues being financial crimes related to the former president, kind of inflating and deflating the value of some of his properties in order to get more favorable loans and more favorable tax treatment. And that's actually something that the New York Attorney General has sued in a civil case, has sued the former president for. But Cyrus Vance left. There's a new DA. We all know that with a new DA comes a new set of priorities and a new view, and they're now deciding to pick up this fairly narrow strand of the potential financial violations and zeroing in on these hush money payments, which, as you said, could give rise to claims of falsifying business records and state election violations. But it is worth noting that obviously all of the facts that give rise to the claims here, they all occurred years ago. And so I don't believe there's any new activity or new information which would have changed the case.
Also, aren't these federal laws, campaign finance laws? How does he have jurisdiction, if you will, to file this case?
So, yes, they are federal laws in the sense that what Michael Cohen was convicted of, obviously in federal court, were violations of federal law. In this case, what they're doing is, if they do move forward, it's kind of a novel theory where the original hook for the charges is based on state claims, and it's based on a violation of New York state law, specifically, as we mentioned, falsifying business records. And the crux of that would be that President Trump was saying, I'm paying legal fees to Michael Cohen. In fact, he wasn't paying legal fees to Michael Cohen. He was actually reimbursing him for those hush money payments that Cohen made to Daniels. Now, the way that you can elevate a falsifying business records allegation, the way you can elevate that from a misdemeanor to a felony is to hook it to the intent to commit a separate crime. And that's where the election laws come in.
I see. Well, you've already seen Trump push back on this on his Truth Social social media platform, saying that he relied on the advice of counsel being misspelled in this particular instance, and that, you know, and this counsel was well regarded at the time, and he didn't do anything wrong because he didn't, even if he did do something wrong, he didn't know he was doing something wrong because he was relying on the advice of counsel. So is that a good defense legally?
It is a defense, and I think it might be his strongest defense. And something similar to that, I think, was the biggest weakness in the federal case. So in the federal case, again, going back to Michael Cohen pleading guilty to the federal campaign finance violations, the big hurdle was that the former president was the sitting president and they weren't going to indict him. But if you peel back that layer and say, would they have brought the case otherwise? In order to have a criminal violation of the campaign finance laws, you have to basically show that you understood what you were doing was wrong and you intended to do something that was wrong and in fact criminal. And that has always been part of the problem when it comes to the former president, which is, did you understand the complexity of election laws are very complex? Did you understand the complexity here? And if he's claiming, well, I just relied on my lawyer, I'm not saying it's a winning argument, but it's a semi-decent argument. And again, even though he was the president, his ability to say, well, I didn't really know what I was doing was wrong, or I didn't really understand, or relied on my counsel, that's always, in many cases, been lurking in the background of his defenses.
So Bragg has given Trump a Thursday deadline to say whether or not he will appear before the grand jury. Do you expect Bragg to indict?
So this is always so dicey, because when we're talking about the former president, you have to kind of throw, well, if history is any indication, out the window. But I will say, you only invite somebody to testify if you're really at the very end of an investigation, and typically if you're ready to indict. But because we're talking about the former president, I'm obviously hedging and not honestly answering your question.
Okay. We will not hold you to that dishonesty. Jessica Levinson, our legal eagle here on Press Play. She teaches at Loyola Law School. Jessica, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, the FDA wants to crack down on claims food companies make that some of their products and their processed food is unhealthy. Here's their pushback.
You know, if these are the standards we have to adhere to, we may just pivot to things that we know people like and forget the kind of aspirations towards healthy food.
That's next on Press Play.